Well, good morning to everyone this morning. Hope you're having a great day this first Sunday of 2019. Hopefully in my remarks here in a few minutes, I won't say 2018, but it's a hard thing when you write a check to remember 2019 instead of 2018. So what we want to do this morning is spend just a moment, kind of during the sermon time, to share some thoughts with you guys, with our body, with our family here, about some blessings that we just want to bring in front of you that happened during 2018, and then just share a brief little glimpse of some thoughts in 2019. Before we do that, though, what I'd like to do is tell you a quick story. And this happened during finals week. I teach at Lipscomb at the university, and I have a class that I teach at night that kind of has a reputation of being a hard class. And I had a student at the end of the class after the final exam who handed me a card. Now, I've been at Lipscomb for 35 years teaching at the university, and I don't ever remember getting a card from a student right after the final exam. So I'm thinking, what is this? And it was sealed up, and it had my name on it, Dr. Johnson, it had my name on it with a smiley face. So what do you do with that? So I opened the card slowly, pulled it out of the envelope, opened it, and read what the student had written. And what she said really struck me. She said, "Thank you for teaching this class. Thank you for encouraging me, for helping me, for getting me through the material, being patient. Thank you for doing that." Now, what you don't know is this was the second time the student had taken that class, because the first time she took it, she didn't pass. So I asked her, I said, "Well, I really appreciate the card. I don't know if I've ever gotten a card like this before." And she said, "I've decided to have an attitude of gratitude." And I said, "Good for you." So the student had really grown throughout the year. Paul in Ephesians kind of says it this way. He says, "Give thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." We are to be a people that give thanks. Regardless of our circumstances, we're to have an attitude of gratitude. I love this story in the Gospels. And Luke kind of shares a situation with us and with the readers. And Jesus talks about being grateful. Let me just read this to you. "On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' When he saw them, he said to them, 'Go and show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus said, 'Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?' And then he said to him, 'Rise up and go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" What we want to do this morning, just for a few minutes, is we want to share not new information, probably, although there may be some new information in these topics, but we want to share just the blessings that God has given us, his providence, his mercy, his blessings from 2018. And I know that individually, some of us in this body, 2018 may not have been the best year. I know that. I understand that. But as a body, as a church body here at Antioch, God's providence, God's blessings, God's mercy on us as a community of people is undeniable. It's a great blessing. So we have several of our elders who are going to come and share on various topics just to kind of highlight some things in 2018. And then Jim Hodge is going to just speak briefly to some things about 2019.
I don't want to touch that. This morning I want to open up giving thanks and remind us of, really where everything comes from. And the passage that comes to mind this morning is found in James, the first chapter. He's talking, he says, "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting sand. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he has created." That is a beautiful passage that reminds us where everything comes from. And my first thanksgiving this morning is to God for what he has done through this body in 2018. And this morning I am talking about some about our community and mission outreach. I kind of want to present it to you in a couple of thanksgivings. First, I want to give thanks for the people in these ministries, Father, who use their abilities and their passions to take a lead. You know, I think of Goyo and Sarah and Gigi and their family as they've come our way to help us to minister in this community, how to help this body become one, even though we're very diverse. Actually, Antioch has always been very diverse over the years with different ways people thought, but there's always been a oneness and love of Christ here that I just love. So I thank God that he's brought them this way. And part of their mission is to reach out to the community. Through Sarah, they've opened doors to Cole. Goyo has opened doors into Antioch Middle School, so we can reach out to kids in this area. And I just want to, I'm thanking God for those opportunities and thanking God for their leadership. I also want to thank God for people like Pam Bashirs, for the branch, for the work that she has such a passion for. In fact, this past year, she was honored as Servant of the Year for the branch. And she is always encouraging us to become a part of that, to volunteer our time. But she diligently works at that. She just has a passion for it. Goyo has a passion. I want to remember Coded in Love, especially Casey Higginbotham. She has a passion for that work. She takes the lead. She works at it. She tries to encourage the rest of us to be involved. I think of Rick Williams, and I think of Al Daughtry and the Deacons in Benevolence. They put together the food boxes that we give away. They have the angel tree that we work. I also want to remember Inner City, Rick and Teresa Williams. Over the years, they have, through that ministry, which is a very hard ministry, they have had the passion and the love to continue that year in and year out, with enthusiasm and the people that they bring along with them. So my first, and I don't want to forget, Mother's Day out, Nancy Cowan, she has taken the lead in ministering to the children in our community. So all these ministries right here, they're kind of hard ministries because we're reaching out beyond ourselves to the community. In the story that Kent read, the one thing I'm reminded, these are lepers And some of them are probably Samaritans. They're not all Jews. Jesus was outside the comfort zone for the Jew of that time. Sometimes we have to go outside our comfort zone. Secondly, I want to remember all of us that come alongside and help us in these ministries. For the people who teach, who read to the children at Cole, or have a activity at Antioch Middle School. For the people who bring the food to the branch, who volunteer to work down there. For the many volunteers that work at Coated in Love. The people who brought the coats for Coated in Love. And one of the things that Casey, you know, she had just about everything she needed this year, except she needed some more coats. There was over 900 coats given away. 490 people came. The food boxes that Rick Williams and Al give away. There were 75 food boxes given away to the people in this community this year. Mother's Day out. These teachers that come alongside her, Nancy, and work at teaching children. Most of these children are not our own children. They're children from the community that come here. So through all these different works, we are reaching out to our community. The elders that went before us, one of their things, they wanted to stay right here and work in this community. I'm 65 years old. I've lived my whole life in Antioch. It has changed, if you haven't noticed. In 65 years, the world has come to Antioch. So I am thanking God for the opportunities, for the talents of this body of believers. And so I thank God. I thank for leadership. I thank for all of us who joins this work. But the last thing I want to thank God for is what he's going to do in 2019. I know he's going to work. A couple of years ago in a small group, we had a study. It was called, can't think right now what it was called. It was about experiencing God. That was some of you may have done it. But the one thing I took away from that was that God is always at work. We just have to open our eyes and see where he's working and come alongside him. And that's my prayer for 2019. Thank you.
I didn't know Wayne was 65. That was news to me. But you glad you came today? Yeah. He doesn't look a day over 64. Education. Several years ago, the elders and some of the staff went through a pretty extensive study, a long study, on kind of what are the priorities for Antioch and our church. Where are some things that we really want to invest resources, personnel, time, money, finances? And the thing that came to the top of the list, maybe not the top, but one of the top priorities was education. Elementary education, pre-K education, adult education, high school education, training our children, training our young adults to be followers of Jesus. So we are thankful for all of you who have been involved in education in 2018. God has blessed us with a number of teachers. I did some quick math, and I'm not a math teacher, but I didn't get Mark to check it for me. But I believe on Sunday morning, every week, we have 25 education classes happening simultaneously. If I counted correctly, we have 16 pre-K through high school, and then 9 adult classes that occur. I did kind of some quick math. That's about 1,000 hours of education per year, only on Sunday morning. Doesn't count Wednesday nights. It doesn't count some of the other education opportunities that you see on the board, like ABC and ACE, Fusion, youth camps, mission trips, Winter Flame, Winter Fest, all those things that we do to try to train our young people and help disciple our adults into a closer relationship with Jesus. This takes a lot of people to do. In fact, I wouldn't do this, and I'm not going to, but I'm guessing if I asked how many of you have in 2018 have been involved in education in one of these areas, it would include most of us. Did you know that we have 80%, Barbara Biffle just sent us the data, we have 80% of you guys, of us, participating in Bible class each Sunday. That's through 2018, 80% of us. That tells me that we're hungry and thirsting for righteousness. We want to be in the Word. We're a body that values the Word, that we love to study the Word. We love to be together, but we love to be in the Word. And I think that's a blessing. Our education staff, I'm not going to name everybody because if I did, I would miss people. But I know Andrew, in terms of pre-K or K through 12, currently is working in that area. Our elementary area has been Laura Lee and Stacy. Andrew is also working in that. These are staff people that kind of work in those areas. Middle school is Chuck. Currently, Andrew is working still in the high school area. Volunteers, we have numerous volunteers that work. In our adult classes, our 9 classes that meet every Sunday, I think I could name some people that have taught for years in those adult classes. The class coordinators that kind of help coordinate what happens in the classes have been in there for a long, long time. In the fall of 2018, Barry and Randy stepped up to help with our life groups, our connection groups, and they led those efforts in 2018. Especially in the fall. We've just been blessed in terms of our education. And it's really not what we as your shepherds do. It's really what you do. And so we're thankful as a group of elders that you value education. I think Jesus was all about discipling people and educating them because that's how you get closer to God. And so we thank you on behalf of the elders. We thank you for those of you that have been involved in education. We look forward in 2019 to continuing that model. And we just appreciate what you do.
This area was going to be handled by Stephen Bridges. But he, of course, he and his family are in Bowling Green preparing for his mom's funeral. One of the good things about having multiple members of an eldership or of any group is you got somebody you can pinch hit with. So I'm pinch hitting at this point. Safety and security. Why? 2 words. Burnett Chapel. And we know what happened there 2 years ago. The world we live in has an overabundance of evil and violence. We see it on the news every day. Satan and his followers, they're at work. As elders, we believe that we have a duty to protect the flock here, not only spiritually, but also physically. This was a 2-year process to getting us where we are. And Stephen was highly involved in all of it. During the process, 3 deacons were appointed to take leadership in this area. Jimbo Allen, Chris Collins, and Matt Russell. If you have questions about this, if you want to volunteer in this area, see one of those guys. The training that this group went through was by professional instructors. They didn't come cheap. None of this process was cheap. But the folks who are involved in this, they didn't just sit down for an hour's YouTube video. The first 2 sessions were downstairs in our fellowship hall. Over 30 of us were there. And it was to make folks aware of what I call situational awareness. Seeing what's happening out there at a distance before it gets up close. And if it does get up close, how do you deal with it in a non-lethal manner? And if you'd like a demonstration of that, just see one of our team members or one of the deacons and offer them your hand. And with 1 finger, you'll find out. I guarantee it. You will do whatever they tell you to do if you offer them that finger. Those sessions were followed by 2 days on the range at a minimum. It's a pistol range. We had 28 members up there, men and women. I had 30 years in the Army and Army Reserve, infantry, airborne. I shot, I can't tell you how many rounds downrange with a multitude of weapons. But never before had I been asked to lay down on my back and shoot between my legs. I remember thinking, this is going to be really embarrassing if I shoot myself in the knee. Fortunately, we had no knee casualties on the range. And that was followed by active shooter training right here in our building so that the team members could get a feel for what if it's happening in the foyer, what if it's down in the classroom, the fellowship hall, here in the auditorium. Extensive training. Now, currently, we have 5 teams that rotate by the week. The team that's on today is also on Wednesday. The most visible members are those out in the parking lot wearing the reflective vests that you see when you come in. They're there on a beautiful day like this, and they're there in the rain, which we've had an abundance of, and they're there in the cold, and they're there in the heat of summer. Tell them thank you when you see them. They're doing a good job. They're the first line of defense, that visible presence to keep the, let the bad guys know, hey, we're ready. The balance of the teams inside the building, less visible, but still there, ready to implement the emergency procedures. And if something should happen, listen to them, follow their directions. Don't necessarily rely on your instincts. Listen to them because they're ready. Also, we have a medical response team. About a dozen individuals who have medical training. These are our firemen, our EMTs, our nurses. They've got a fully stocked response cabinet, plus the AED defibrillator. That's what you see on TV. You know, you hit the guy with the paddles and he does that. Reminds me of frog legs hitting hot grease in the skillet. Now, as part of our facilities upgrade last year, a lot of it involved security. The new doors in the foyer. Cameras throughout and outside. A lot of new procedures, ways to protect us, a lot of new procedures. Now, in the area of facilities, we did a lot of remodeling. The most visible thing is our fellowship hall downstairs. I think everybody likes that. It's a beautiful job. And following that, this year in 2019, the kitchen remodeling is going to be kicking off. The group has got their plans finalized. They're just waiting to get a budget and a start date. And it'll take a couple of weeks to do that. Well, maybe a couple of months. You know how these things go. But that inconvenience of not being able to cook there is going to be worth it once it's all done and we have a new kitchen there. Other improvements last year include some very visible items. The wooden wall in the foyer is another really obvious one. We've had a lot of good comments on. Others not so visible. Several new air conditioner units. The big one, one of the big ones, above the breezeway was one. Major roof repairs. And the fire marshal was really glad about that because he was ready to shut down our elevator if he found more water in there. The roofers did a great job. Now, our physical plant, you know, it's aging, like all of us. And we'll need continued maintenance and repair. And that includes our parking lot, which is in bad shape and really needs to be repaved. That's a $250,000, $300,000 job right there. But this summer, hopefully, we'll be able to get a patch and seal job, buy us 4 or 5 years, and then that'll give us time to accumulate those funds to be ready to do the complete job. If you have questions about facilities, you can see Matt Thweet, Dwayne Clark, our deacons there, and Haddon Scott Craighead done a wonderful job as our custodian this year, maintenance guy. Okay. Todd, you're up next.
Well, this is great. If you'll get my next slide up there, what do I need to... And you can see I'm talking about spiritual and family life. And all I can do really is add to what you've already heard. And what you've been hearing is, is what is, you know, we've heard from James 1 a while ago, and James 2, it talks about the concept of faith plus your actions working together equals your faith being complete by what you do. And I think that's what this body does. You know, what Kent was saying, you know, 80%+ of you involved in class, whether you're teaching or participating within the groups and all those things where we get to interact throughout the week. The shepherds, you know, they all of us love you so much. The shepherds, Antioch, have always loved on this body well. And some of the things I'm going to be talking about is prayer with the shepherds. And so years ago, when I my children was young, I, you know, would routinely go to the shepherds when I had issues that I was dealing with in life that were tough. And there were some bad days there. I never will forget one time going, this concept that was mentioned this morning about being thankful, I mean, being giving thanks in the midst of misery. And I got to witness that one time with the shepherds when I went to pray with them. And one of my children, they were in my lap while we were having prayer together. And my child was being protected at that very moment. And I only found out later that day what a blessing that was. It was almost like the problem I was dealing with was just a little distractor, because God was trying to get me to a safe place, trying to get my child to a safe place at a particular point in time, and that's exactly what happened. I, as a shepherd, have met with the shepherds, prayed with the shepherds. I never will forget one night we were in the room together, not probably a year or two ago, and we were just kind of checking on each other, see how you were doing, and I was not in a good place at that time. Those men came over, put their hands on me, prayed over me, and over the next 7 days, it was amazing how my attitude, my confidence, and other things I was struggling with all were given back to me. And I think it's so powerful when you go and pray with your shepherds. I've always thought that, and I still think that. We'll talk a little bit about the minister changes that we've been going through in 2018. You know, one of the things you think about Josh, I want to really thank him. He gave us something we get to enjoy every single week. When the shepherds get down front or in the back and pray with you all every week, you know, Josh is the one that challenged us to do that and make that a routine. And we've gotten such great feedback on that. You all, I mean, just those of you I've prayed with, you just don't know what it's like when you come and share something and we pray about it. The next week and the week after that, I mean, I'm continually thinking about that when I'm at work, when I'm driving back and forth to work, wherever I am. I got you on my mind. I've got that situation on my mind, concerned about it. And I'm sure the rest of the shepherds experienced that same thing. Appreciate so much how God's blessed us this past year. As Josh was starting to transition out, we're starting to think about, well, how do we move forward? And the shepherds have been so blessed to be able to work with Whit, the way Whit's come in and taking the lead on preaching and teaching. For Andrew to be able to take, continuing his responsibilities over the youth, but to also be able to start to step into being there to help us from an administrative perspective on a daily basis. I was so proud of Andrew this past week. He sent us an email just saying, hey, if I drop the ball on anything, you know, please let me know, whatever. I love that. We realize that things won't always go as planned, but I just love it. That's Andrew's heart, you know. And so we should be that way with each other. We shouldn't be, you know, saying, doggone it. But we should be thinking, hey, I need to go to that person and let them know. Or maybe I step up and take care of something that fell through the cracks. But I appreciate Andrew's heart so much, and he's just so committed every day. What you all don't understand, the shepherds, we're communicating probably every day of the week. I mean, there's a lot of communication going on about this body and about issues. A lot of that happens very quick because of Cheryl Friend. She does such a great job. What a friend she is to you all. I mean, the fact that she can get your cards that you turn in on Sunday, and sometime early Monday, we already have a summary of what's on those cards so that we can be in prayer about that. Almost every Monday night, we meet together, and we discuss things, and we spend time praying about those cards as a group, and I think that's a wonderful thing. Our deacons, we can't thank you enough. Sometimes I feel like as a shepherd, I need to be doing more on the spiritual side, more time in prayer, more time meeting with you all. And folks, we can't do that without the wonderful leaders we have, our deacons and other people that have responsibility around here. And we appreciate when you all go to them first and try to let them take care of whatever your concern or what you've noticed. We don't mind hearing it, but it allows us to make sure we keep the things God's put on our list of responsibilities to make sure we don't slack on the spiritual side and the prayer things. Talk a little bit about talking and praying with your shepherds. And we're going to talk about four areas. End of service, please continue to come to us and pray with us. Celebrate things. It's not all bad. We hear a lot of good things to celebrate and praise God about, but there's also some challenges, acute challenges, chronic challenges that you all have. You come down and you lift up. Many times you're just concerned about another individual. It's not that it's your burden, but you're wanting to bring it down here to let us know. Those cards, as I mentioned, us praying about those things. Another thing we do routinely is that you all ask, can I come and meet and pray with you, as I had done years ago and continue to do, but in the conference room, we meet with you. We've met with so many families, husband and wives having challenges, children. I still, Joe David, when Colin went off to college and how you brought Colin in and we prayed with him and talked about his future. What a beautiful thing that was, and that's when I feel like the real reward, real time, is there for us serving as shepherds. I also want to talk about when you're sick and coming in. And some of you may be new to Antioch, and you don't know that we do this. We'll read this passage out of James chapter 5. This is what the Word says. We shepherds don't understand what I'm about to read to you, but we are obedient. We do it. We ask that you take advantage of this. Many of you have taken advantage of this. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Remember this, folks. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And I leave you with that. Continue to talk with us, to pray with us, and for us. We need your help. We struggle just like you all do. We have great days just like you all do. And so just continue to keep us in prayer. And I know you do because you all send so many communications just letting us know you're praying for us. And it always lifts me up. It seems to come at just the time that I need it. I'm going to, as we continue to talk about ministry, Benton's going to come up and share the latest on youth ministry. Thank you, Benton.
You know, I second that with Todd, and hope this doesn't sound lame, but I, on Mondays or Tuesdays, I get so excited to receive from Cheryl people on the prayer list, people that send cards. And like I said, it's on good things or challenging things, but to me it's so uplifting because it shows our connection, our closeness as a family, and that we have that connection of prayer. And I mean, I'll stop anywhere at any time and pray with somebody. I love it. God has gotten us through so many different things with prayer. I know I couldn't do without it. And And it's very rewarding to see a list. And to me, the longer the better, because it just shows a connection there. I'm just going to speak for a second. I've only got 15 or 18 pages here. Nah, I'll be the quickest. But no, I just wanted this opportunity to speak because my heart's always been had a place for young people. Even before Tanya and I got married, after we got married, I just love being around young people. And I think that is seeing them develop. My boys are 25 and 28 now, and I remember them coming through the youth, you know, group with David and with Andrew when he got here. A real quick story, I can tell you the first year I was at camp, and the first year he was at camp was the same year, and we were on a bus going somewhere, one spot of the park to the other, and he got up there and started some silly song with all these kids, and I looked at Mark Black and I said, "This is our youth minister," you know. But I love this guy. He and I are best of friends and brothers, and we confided in each other, and I love having him around. So we are looking, needless to say, for a strong and dedicated youth minister to fill this role, a youth minister with a wife that can help support him and to work with our young people as well. we've got to have somebody strong. And God's going to send that husband and wife to us. But we got to have somebody strong that can help us as parents set that solid foundation. It's got to be strong because once they're out of high school and they've gone to work or college or wherever they go, it's set. You know, I look at the Youngs and the Butterfields more recently because I've dealt with them. And I love these guys and I love their sons because I've seen how they have developed. Mom and Dad have helped out so much. But also the connection of a good youth department, ministry department there. So just to tell you in a nutshell, the committee has met a couple of times since we started, but of course the holidays have thrown everything kind of slowed us down there. But we'll be getting back together very soon once Andrew gets back from a youth minister conference that he's leaving out tomorrow, and he'll be gone all week there. Here's the good thing for us as far as I think that our church. And is that he's going to be with 400 plus youth ministers at a conference. So he's going to be able to get the word out about our need here. And also working with, he's going to have 40 plus youth ministers locally within range here. So I think in our situation like this, it's good that we've still got Andrew on board as a youth minister because of the people that he knows and those that he can contact with. And so it's good to have, I think we're blessed to have him as the point man. Kind of helping us get started there as far as that. We have received a few resumes, and just real briefly on the resumes, when we get a good resume, we'll call the good resume. Andrew set up a very detailed four-page questionnaire to complete. And if it comes back good, then we'll have a phone interview with at least three members of our committee. If their phone interview comes good, then we'll have a FaceTime interview with the entire committee, and there's seven of us, and then depending on where if they're too far away as far as getting in here, then we'll have like a face to face. And once that is done, once we narrow it down to there, then there'll be an interview with the elders and possibly even the teens. just real quickly to go over, we have on our search committee Tracy Cunningham, Jennifer Dunaway, Lisa Finley, myself, Josh Maxwell, Andrew, and Shane Whittington. And I'm just telling you, the two meetings I've been a part of, man, you can just feel the excitement in the air, can't you, Andrew? I mean, it's just, and it's great because we've got some with young people, with young children, and moving on up a little bit. So it's very exciting just to be a part of that. But everybody in here can be part of that search committee by prayer. I know a lot of you are praying already. But continue your prayers for the right husband and wife to be brought to this church and to continue on the strong work, because there's a lot of obstacles the world's throwing at us right now, and that's okay. We got an almighty God that's backing us up, and so we're not worried about that. But we just I'll ask for your prayers there that you will continue on that, And we'll see what God's got planned for us. Thank you.
All right. I know you've all been waiting restlessly for me to go through the budget line by line, number by number, okay? But that's not going to happen, all right? So rest assured. I do want to tell you that we're going to talk about the budget in a little bit and about some of the, but really, you know, we've been talking about the Lord's Prayer, and I was thinking about, you know, we pray for God to give us our daily bread, and God, and as you're going to see in some things I'm going to share, that God truly has blessed us. But yet, you know, I was thinking about the daily bread and the manna, you know, each day they had to go out and gather it. God provided it, but they had to go get it, you know. But yet, later on in the prophets, he says, you know, challenge me to give, and it will come back to you, but pressed down and overflowing, right, Wayne? So as we share, I am going to I'm going to show you some numbers, okay? But I don't really want you to fixate on the numbers per se, but just I want to show you to make a point. And before I share them, though, I will tell you that you know, financially we are in good shape. I mean, you may not realize it, but our annual budget is slightly under $1 million. So our giving supports that, and that's a pretty big number, you know, if you think about that. Now I'm going to show you these numbers. And this is our year-end cash at the end of each of the last 5 years. Now, the last one is just the as of end of September, the numbers I had. But the thing I want you to notice here is, and this is what's in the bank, like your savings account, your checking account. The first one is our checking account. And if we're a $1 million annual budget, then we're going to have about $80,000 or so in the checking account each month to pay the bills. Okay, so you'll see that at the year end we're around anywhere from depending on when the bills hit, what money we have at the end of the year. And then we have the savings account, which is our building fund, which has been handed down from our former elders, which has put us in good financial shape. You know, we've always paid where we, you know, ahead. We have we don't have any debt because the stewardship of the elders before me. But I will say that, see, we don't budget the things that happen. We budget the things that are ongoing, but I'm going to go through a list next that talks about things that we didn't budget. You know, we set aside of that $300,000 in our savings account, we set aside anticipating having to fix the roof and replace the big air conditioning units out there. And so we had, you know, thought we were wise. We set that aside, okay? Well, we never dreamt, you know, if you were here 2 or 3 years ago, we had a little lightning storm that damaged a lot of the building. You may or may not remember that. Well, let's look. And so I went through my head, and I'm thinking, what did we do? What have we spent? What have we given over the last 5 years? And then I kind of estimated the number because I didn't go back in and look exactly the number. So a lot of the numbers here are just my estimates, not actual numbers. So don't get fixated on that either. But if you remember in the last, and I couldn't remember what it was, but somewhere in the last 5 years, we decided to give a one-day Sunday to go for the Philippines because they had a tsunami out there. And I think the number was around 30,000, okay? We had planned to replace the AC unit, so we replaced one. And when Barry did a great job with that, he found out that he had to have a special adapter made to be able to fit our building. So I mean, it cost about 30 grand to do that. So over the last 5 years, we replaced two of those, and the combination was about 60,000. The lightning storm and wear and tear, we actually had to replace four smaller AC units. These were unexpected. These were not budgeted. We found water in L.A. with Laura Antioch, and so we, through Andrew's guidance, and we actually renovated that. And that $20,000, I put 30. So anyway, so about $30,000 we spent waterproofing, you know, doing the renovations down there. The lightning storm. See, when the lightning storm came, it took out our security system. It took out our fire system. It took out lighting here. It took out a lot of stuff. And so, and then meanwhile, as you might imagine, this building being 30, it's as old as my son, Matt. I can't remember how old are you, Matt, where Matt is. But it's about over 30 years old. And so, as you can imagine, it wasn't to code. So when we started redoing the fire and security systems, it was quite costly. And you can see the cost there to get that done. And like I said, these were unbudgeted, all right? The fellowship hall. Now, we did a special contribution for the fellowship hall. And thank you for giving. You know, you're very generous. And it costs a little bit more than what we gave, but that's about the cost of that, unbudgeted. We did all the renovation. We did the painting in the hallways and the foyers and put up the wood wall and all that stuff was about $20,000. We've had to do improvements in our AV system, and we're still more to come on that. But Brian and his group have done a great job of putting that together. The sign out front, the lightning also damaged the sign out front. Well, it was really old technology. It could not be repaired. And so, you know, we went months with the sign not working. Well, a generous member here gave us the money to fix that sign. So that was, you know, so that was a gift. It was $42,000. And then we've also, I know we've had two or three contributions that we've given away, and I think they were about 15. They could be more than that, but around $15,000 each maybe that we have given away. So, and then the... Okay, yeah, that's the giving. Okay, so that matches up. I put that in twice. I was confused myself. And then we gave a pig and a horse and a truck. And I think those, I wanted to put that. That's priceless to the people that needed it. Okay, I don't remember what those cost. But the people that needed those things, and we didn't give one pig. We gave two, you know, like on the ark, okay? And so all those things added up. And that's over $450,000. And mostly that was unbudgeted. It was, you know, we funded it through gifts and other things. So if you think about it, you know, we've been on budget through it all. I looked for the last 5 years, we were 1% within our budget. Okay? But yet, so how did we fund $450,000 beyond that? Well, it had to be God. And I think that's a tremendous message of faith that we give. And it never hurts to be generous. I tell my children, never hurts to be generous. And we give all the time. But yet, when the storm hits, when the lightning strikes, who do we depend on? We depend on God. God is good all the time. And so the message here is that we can budget, we can plan, but when the time comes, you know, God will protect us and take care of us. So that's the message for the day.
And all the time, God is good. That wasn't planned. It just worked out that way. Colossians, second chapter. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. You've heard today many things that we are thankful for and that we have given thanks for. But it's a new year. What do you see in 2019? For some folks, it's dark and it's fearful, but not for us. 365 times in Scripture, the Lord's people are told, fear not, don't be afraid. 365. One for every day of the year. If we get the feeling down, we know the source to go to eliminate that. What do the details of 2019 look like? And we want to know. Gideon wanted to know in the Old Testament. We will have challenges. We will have blessings and opportunities that we don't know what they are. Some of them are going to be very familiar. Winter flame, ABC, the things that we're accustomed to. Some are going to be different. That new youth minister, I don't know his name. I don't know when he's going to get here. The Lord does, and he'll introduce us when the time's right. The Awakened Nashville that Andrew mentioned, that's something new, a challenge for us. There are going to be new ministry involvement videos and sign-ups, soccer games, and yet many, many more unknown blessings and opportunities this year. You want to know? I want to know. Now, Todd mentioned that as elders, we meet weekly. We have time of prayer. We ask the Lord for guidance, seek his wisdom. But I confess to you that those details of 2019, your elders don't know what they are. But we know the God that we serve. He's told us he has plans for us. We know he will take care of us. Just as he has here for over 125 years. That's three times the life expectancy of the average church in this nation. He has plans for us. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. He has plans for us not only as a congregation, but also as individuals. Now, what can stop us from receiving those blessings and opportunities that he has for us? In my mind, it's if we stop loving. Then we're going to miss out. Antioch's known as a place that knows how to love. Jesus told his followers that they would be known not by the name that we have on that beautiful new sign out on Antioch Pike, not by the words on our brick building, but we would be known as his followers by the way we love. So I'll leave you with this thought. How will I love in this new year of 2019? How will I influence the people that I come in contact with on a daily basis? We'll do it in the Lord and guided by his Spirit. Today is a day of thankfulness for us, looking back, but also looking forward. The elders are going to join me down front here. We're going to ask a prayer of thankfulness. Guys, come on down front here in front of the steps. Some of us are moving a little stiff, I can see. You know, Wayne said he was 65. I'm the oldest one of these guys. I know I don't look it. Just turned 71. And I'm thankful for that. Let's pray. Father God, your love has overwhelmed us. You overflow our cup of blessings here at Antioch. And we say thank you. And that seems inadequate because of your great love for us. We thank you for all the blessings and all the opportunities that you've given us this past year. And we thank you for those that you have in store for us. And we give that thanks in the name of Jesus, our Savior. As we look forward to his return, when every knee will bow, and he will be known as Lord of Lords and King of Kings throughout this world. In his name and by the power of his Spirit, we do pray. Amen.